When writing down the desired response for your sermon, don't settle for Christian jargon. We welcome you to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and that's our key sentence for today. We're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, when I was growing up, I remember hearing a lot of Christian jargon in the sermons preached. Do you have similar recollections?
Yeah, it's a long time back in my mind to have to travel, but, you know, washed in the blood, that's jargon to the church. The outsider, when you say washed in the blood, and they take that literally, it sounds silly to them. They don't understand it. Standing on the rock, marching to Zion, those are all phrases I haven't heard for a long time, but that was a part of my experience, okay?
Even the phrase born again?
Yes, very much, yeah. What does that mean? It's obviously right out of Scripture, but at the same time, the average person has no idea what that means. So it becomes jargon. Jargon is specialized language to those in the know. So if you're not in the know, you think, what in the world are they talking about? And that was a big part of the church. Has that changed? I don't know.
One of the things I've often wondered as I think back to those days of not only church, but also Youth for Christ and other Christian endeavors, did we Christians use jargon to make us feel more comfortable with each other and also more separated from the world?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know the answer. I think probably if people had thought it through, they would say we don't want it to separate us from other people. But there is an in language. I think it's still there. I find it mostly in the new Christians I disciple. If you say the book of Acts, they don't know what that means. You know, Acts of what? It's like learning hockey or something. Cross the blue line or, you know, the offsides or something. You don't know what it means, but you don't want to feel like a dope, so you don't ask anybody. Pre-tribulation rapture. Well, we tried to go through that one the other day, a fellow I'm mentoring and myself. I don't think I ever did help him with that one. Even the Lord's Prayer, you know, thy kingdom come. That doesn't make sense, although I've found a lot of times to the non-traditionalists, it makes more sense because they explain it better than it does to the person who's been in the church for a long time, because they can understand what a kingdom is, the king rules and the kingdom and so on. There's an awful lot of phrases that are used in church services that when you bring a visitor to church who hasn't been in church ever sometimes, and I've literally been with those people, it is like they pick up on all of this. It's amazing to them, and it's like a language that they don't speak. And so somehow you have to be the translator for them, and then you realize we have to learn how to say these things in words that are understandable to the average Joe who doesn't come here all the time.
So it sounds to me like even though both of us grew up many years ago in the church, it's still something we need to watch today when we consider special words or jargon that might be used in our churches.
And it's not only for the outsider, Dean. This last week, I heard a sermon. The phrase that was used all the time was anointing of the Spirit. And I thought to myself, now, I don't know what he means when he says that. But worse than that, I don't think most of the people listening to him know what he means. He was talking about gifts, and he says you have to understand what your gifts are, and then your gifts have to be anointed by the Holy Spirit in order to be used effectively. Now, what did he mean by that? I'm not really sure that I could say what he meant. And on top of that, I'm not sure he knows what he meant. So if I ask him, you know, in fact, it was said, if you want to go someone for special prayer, you know what your gifts are, and gifts is another term, you know what your gifts are, but your gifts have never been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, what is he saying? Because he kept repeating that. And I thought to myself, I'm not uncomfortable with where I am in terms of my gifts or whether or not they're being used by the Holy Spirit, but I don't know whether communication was going on that was fair there. And I find that a lot of times, this goes on regularly. So what do I want people to do, the ministers? I want people to ask Jesus into their heart. Well, if you get a guy who's never been in church before and you say, I want Jesus, you need to ask Jesus into your heart, you may assume that they understand that, but that's a tough phrase for people. How does Jesus get in my heart? It's like the born-again phrase. Nicodemus says, how does that happen? Can I enter my mother's womb a second time and be born? You're saying something that doesn't make sense to me. But the church, in my mind, is still very much into that kind of language. I think about a word like prophet. Most of the time when you use the word prophet, that to people means somebody who tells what's going to happen in the future. It's like a fortune teller in a way, although they would not say fortune teller, but the prophet is somebody who's going to say what happens in the future. Well, most of the time in Scripture, prophets don't foretell the future as much as they forthtell God's word for the people of that time. But if you're hearing the word prophet all the time and you've been in church all these years and you've always thought the prophet has to foretell, then somehow you're just not in the know. And again, my personal feeling on this is made aware a lot of, because I one of the gifts I have been given, one of those skills I've been given by God is evangelism. And I do that relatively well. I have a gentleman from Mexico who has lived with us for some time, and it was almost 4 years before he became a believer. He has come along. We got a language barrier because he speaks Spanish and not English real well, and I don't speak Spanish. Just had high school Spanish, and we can communicate, but it's tough. So he was led to the Lord by a fellow Hispanic, and the gentleman who led him to the Lord said, "Now you need to be baptized." That terrified Cirillo because he didn't know what baptism was, and so he asked me what it was, and I described it for him, various ways that church baptizes, including immersion, which is another one of those words that's a toughie for a person who's a newcomer. And he literally said, no, I with my clothes on, you know. And so I had to walk him through that whole process as to why someone was immersed or why it could be done in different ways, and he could have his choice. And when he was given all this and he understood it all, what he said was, "When I go back to Oaxaca in Mexico, I want to be baptized there, and I want to be baptized in the river, and I want my wife to be there when it happens." And he was at great peace about all of that, but it took a lot of conversations to bring him to the place, because he knew that Jesus had forgiven his sin, but he was struggling with how the Spirit lived in him, the Holy Spirit. So again, it's just, there's a certain in language, and that's what jargon is. So if you use the word jargon, I say it's appropriate. And it is way, way more a part of the church than we ever think about it being. I think even jargon, in my early ministry, I was under a pastor who was a very good communicator, but he kept saying in all of his sermons, "You people need to be more dedicated." He may have known what he meant by that, but I remember talking with him saying, "I don't know what you mean when you say more dedicated, because I don't know how to put that into my life." So in a sense, you're holding up an ideal here, but your words are not telling me what that ideal is. And on top of that, you're frustrating people. Do you want them to give more money? Is that what you want them to do? Do you want them to spend more time in the Bible? Do you want them to be more involved hours-wise in the church? And he'd say, no, that's not what I mean. Well, what do you mean? Because you're giving invitations for people to come to the front to be more dedicated to Christ. Said they know what they know what it means to them. It'll be different in different cases, but the Holy Spirit will tell them what it means. I said, yeah, but at the same time, in a sense, you're not being fair to them because your words don't explain what you mean. And if you say more dedicated, anybody can be more dedicated, you know. So the question is, are you talking, if you would say, "I don't want secret sins in your life," or "I don't want," if you think you're giving 10% in this wealthy suburb when you could be giving 20-25%, you know, when you become specific and you use a language that they can understand, it's much more to their advantage. So yeah, jargon is a huge problem. After a while, I'm going to frustrate people, because I think, you know, we want to say prayers of praise. Well, praise is a toughie, but praise basically is not the same as thanks. So we're going to dedicate this part of the service to prayers of praise, and then most of the people who pray don't pray prayers of praise. They're praying prayers of thanksgiving or even requests. So they didn't understand. Well, the problem was that nobody explained to them. If you're praying a prayer of praise, you're, in a sense, attributing worth to God for what he by nature is. So you may not feel that he's just, but you know that he is. So you say, "Apart from some of the things I experience in my life, I know that you're just." And that's very satisfying to me, because there aren't a whole lot of just judges in the world. And to know that you will judge this world justly is a very satisfying thing to me, God. I applaud. Well, that's a prayer of praise. Praise, it's kind of an inward in terms of the church when it's used, that I would say if you gave a quiz, most of the people in the congregation would not get it right. So I try to say praise is like paying somebody a compliment. It's like saying, "I hear you're a very generous person." I don't experience that generosity, but people testify that that's who you are. So at that point in time, I've paid you the compliment, and it all makes sense. But somehow you've explained it in words that are meaningful to people. And if people are feeding back that they're not catching what you're saying, I think one of the big problems is a language problem, and it is a jargon problem. And yes, it has to be addressed in terms of the church. So it would be wonderful if I'm talking specifically to a pastor to have someone say, I'm all for hiring outsiders, to have somebody come in who's never in church and say, I want you to write down every time I say something you don't understand, I want you to write it down. And I think that would be a huge help to a minister, and it might also be a thing where you say, no, you need more than a sheet of paper, you may need a tablet, you know, because it is a difficult problem and we need to be aware of it.
Two possible solutions come to my mind. The first is, as a pastor prepares his or her sermon, look at it through the eyes of someone who doesn't know jargon, somebody from the outside, and identify at least some of the words that might be these in words. The other possibility would be for a pastor to consider preaching on what various terms that we commonly use, what they actually mean. What do these terms mean? When we say praise, when we talk about confession, when we talk about repentance,
those are different words. Confession and repentance, right, are different words, but and they both have their own distinct meaning.
Yes, and they're very important in the life of a believer.
Yes.
Pastors can preach through a whole lot of the jargon or in words and explain from Scripture and also from your own spiritual experience the significance. So those are two suggestions. When writing down the desired response for your sermon, don't settle for Christian jargon.
Makes sense.
That's our message for this SermonCoach.com podcast. We're so glad you joined us. We invite you to go to our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors in their ministry as they develop sermons, as they develop the order of their worship services, even as they work toward the goal of improving the overall spiritual formation of the people in their churches. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.